Thanks, Nathan. On 88.1, it's Maryland Morning. Fences by August Wilson won the Pulitzer Prize for Drama and a Tony Award for the Best Play when it was debuted on Broadway back in 1987. When it was revived on Broadway 5 years ago, it won another Tony for Best Revival. The play is in the middle of Wilson's 10-part American cycle, in which the playwright chronicles the African-American experience with a trenchant and powerful voice that is unparalleled in American theater. Fences opens at Baltimore's Everyman Theater tonight. Joining me in Studio A this morning are Vincent Lancisi, he's the founding artistic director of the Everyman, and Clinton Turner Davis, who has directed Everyman's production of this August Wilson classic. Good morning and welcome to you both.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So, Mr. Davis, give us a plot summary of Fences for folks who haven't yet seen the play.
The play Fences is about an African-American family living in the Hill District in Pittsburgh in 1957. The father is a sanitation worker, a garbage man. The wife is a housewife. They have a son who's in high school, wants to is playing football. The father carries the weight of having been a exceptional baseball player during the time of the Negro Leagues and during the time of segregation in baseball and in sports in general. And that weighs heavily on him as he wants the best for his son. And tensions build as the father basically prohibits him from pursuing the career in sports.
Yeah, the son Corey is
one of the plot lines.
Right, the son Corey is a pretty good football player.
Yes, he is. He's received a scholarship. A recruiter is coming to recruit him to go to college, and the father does not sign the papers for him to pursue this scholarship.
And this is taking place in like the late 1940s.
1957.
1957. Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
September, October, 1957.
Right, so Jackie Robinson's been playing Major League Baseball for 10 years or whatever.
Yes. Yeah. And then the final scene occurs 6 years later.
Yeah, so it covers a fairly wide swath. Vinny Lancisi, this is your 25th season at Everyman.
Wow.
Congratulations. How does this particular production, Fences, fit into the arc not only of this season, but of the 25 years of your work here in Baltimore?
You know, this is the only play in the season that I chose to revisit. We did Fences about a decade ago. It's a play that has earned a place in modern American classics that is one of the greatest plays, I believe, American author has ever written. And I wanted to celebrate American classics as part of the 25th anniversary, so I chose three: Fences, Death of a Salesman, and Streetcar Named Desire. And
three really iconic works.
And, you know, it's interesting because when I chose it, the only thing I felt they had in common were that I feel like those are the three of arguably of the best American playwrights that have made their mark in modern theater history.
Arthur Miller, Tennessee Williams, right?
Right.
And then August Wilson. Yeah.
But now, you know, delving into Fences, there are other striking familiarities. I mean, Troy Mattson, the protagonist of Fences, and Willie Loman are really chasing the same American dream that eludes them in very different ways. And their outrage at the American dream's failure to hold its end of the bargain up, i.e., you hold your head down, you work hard, you save your money, you do the right thing, and you'll be rewarded with whatever it is, the golden years of retirement and, all the things that we want for our children and a better life than we had before. And I think it's going to be interesting for Everyman patrons when they come back to see Death of a Salesman to make those connections, because I didn't when I was out. You know, I want them to know that was not a choice. but you know, Fences is just a beautiful story. There are so many ways in. You know, if you're a father, your heart goes out to Troy. If you're a mother, you know, it's going to understand Rose. Ultimately, it's a father and son story, but really, as always, it's the women that hold the family together. Mm-hmm. And Rose's role in this journey is critical.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ms. Davis, one critic has called this character of Troy, the father of the family, one of the great American characters in theater literature. Mm-hmm. And this perspective, you know, unlike Death of a Salesman, is from the African-American experience. I mean, here's a guy, you know, growing up in segregated Pittsburgh. Part of one of the themes is about his job, about his potential for advancement in his job, his relationship with his wife. You know, there's all sorts of themes going on here. How do you go about, as a director, working with this great set of actors that you have in this production, how do you go about divining the complexity of a person like Troy and bringing out the many facets of his character?
Wow, that's a very good question. My approach to this production and to my work in general is that character, and particularly in performance, is defined by the breath. How one breathes, how the character breathes in any situation. The breath constantly changes. And to approach a role of this size, one has to breathe differently. One has to breathe deeper, sustaining longer lines of dialogue. And that was one of the things I constantly stress in the rehearsal process. Actors, to a large degree, are used to memorizing their texts in phrases. And
each phrase has a breath
Yes,
with it. Yeah.
And of a sentence.
Yeah.
And it's like, and so there, I was constantly saying to them, look, there's no punctuation. Read till you encounter the punctuation. And actors were, oh my God, that's a long sentence. Mm-hmm. Yes, it is. You're breathing differently.
You got to tank up big.
Yeah. And so in breathing differently, it accesses the actor's instrument in a different way so that the proper breath allows you and facilitates the writing, the specificity of the emotions of any given moment in the play differently than one would normally.
Yeah, fascinating. So you talked about actually when to breathe, how deeply to breathe.
Mm-hmm. Still do.
Why to breathe.
Why you are breathing here. Yeah. Why you should not breathe here.
Uh-huh.
And then with that understanding, then we move into, sometimes I've been told that I speak musically in the work process. And we start looking at cadences and rhythms. In this production and with all offenses, his work is grounded very specifically, I feel, in an African aesthetic, West African aesthetic. And I've chosen, as many scholars have written about, that it is in the Yoruban tradition. And part of that Yoruba tradition is really based in the word and how one uses the word. The word really emanating from the talking drum.
Yeah, fascinating.
And with that talking drum, we have different tones that we then use.
From the drum, yeah. It's about the rhythm and the cadence. Clinton Turner Davis, he's the director of Fences by August Wilson, which is at the Everyman Theater. Vincent Lancisi is with us as well. He is the founding director of the Everyman. So, Vinny, did you choose this play before or after April 27th?
I am happy to report before. I am happy to report that it has only taken on more significance.
Yeah, because when we talk about the themes of inequality and lack of opportunity, these are themes that Mr. Wilson takes up in this piece. And, of course, it resonates in a particularly acute way, given what we experienced as a city.
You know, I'm excited when classics hold up, but sometimes it's a little depressing. The conversation really hasn't changed all that much. So what I think is striking about the play is that I don't care what your background is, you're going to care about this family and you're going to understand their struggle from every perspective. And like all great writers, Wilson was a poet. And so he lifts the ordinary into the extraordinary in a way that audiences will never forget. So the icon sort of connects to your heart, and it sort of explains everything, puts everything in perspective.
Yeah. This is a play, Mr. Davis, about the 50s, written in the 80s, that you're now performing in the 2015s. In my other life, I'm a musician, and I am called on to conduct a piece or pieces that I've conducted many times in the past. So in a week or two, we're going to do a couple of requiems by two French composers, Durflay and Fauré, with the Choral Arts Society. And I've done both these pieces many times.
Yeah,
beautiful piece. But so there are choices that you have to make when you enter into a process. You know, one of the choices is, where do you do it? Do we do it in a cathedral? Do we do it in an auditorium? We chose to do it in a Krausauer auditorium, for example. There are choices about the diction. You know, how do you pronounce the Latin? Do you do it with a French accent or not? How fast, how slow, how loud, how soft, etc. What are the choices that you face when you're looking at Fences by August Wilson, this iconic play that a lot of people know going into the theater just because many productions are done of it? What do you think the crucial choices are to conceptualize a piece like this?
Wilson, in all of his works, and particularly in Fences, has given very significant clues to location, to place, to economic status, as well as choices in terms of texture, in terms of color. And when one does a very close reading of the script, all of these things are revealed. And it's in taking that information that Wilson has beautifully provided and then combining it with one's own historical understanding of the period and the specificity of the Hill District in Pittsburgh, one can then begin to shape and sculpt a vision of the piece. We are now in the 2015s, have such an amazing resource at the Carnegie Library of pictures, particularly by the photographer of the period, Teeny Harris, that documents the look, locations, and these were vital resources that we provided and led the fantastic design team to and made the process that much easier.
Yeah. Well, I should mention, I didn't mention his name before, but Alan Bomar Jones is the gentleman who plays Troy, heading a very interesting cast. I mean, Vinny, the theater now, your new theater has been open for, what, is this the third year, second year? I've lost track.
This is the third year.
This is the third year. As we said, it's your 25th anniversary. When the new theater opened, your ticket sales went way up. A lot of people decided, yep, now's the time I'm going to subscribe to Everyman. Has that continued? And we've heard from other folks in that Bromo Tower Arts and Entertainment District, as well as, you know, people who run hotels, people who organize the marathon, that ticket sales and registrations for events are down because of the violence in April. Have you experienced that at Everyman?
You know, it's funny. We've had two diametrically opposed trend in ticket purchasing that we're not sure had anything to do with the uprising or not. Ironically, we lost about 250 subscribers last season, or rather 250 short of what our goal was. It was the first time. We picked up about 1,000 subscribers since we moved from Charles Street to Fayette.
That's significant. That's a lot of folks.
It is.
That's good.
Yet, Blythe Spirit, which aired, which performed right after the uprisings, had huge single ticket sales. An Inspector Calls broke all box office records, which we just closed, at Everyman. Huge, huge, huge sales.
That was the opening of this season.
Right. Mm-hmm. And then Fences right now has the largest advance of ticket purchases, the numbers of people coming pre-opening in the history of Everyman.
So this is indicating that people are not afraid to come downtown. They're not afraid to go to Fayette Street and enjoy theater.
And they shouldn't be. There's nothing to be afraid of. Mm-hmm. There's nothing to be afraid of. Mm-hmm. It's safe.
Mr. Davis, I was there last night at the last preview, a very large audience and a very enthusiastic audience. I wonder, does the racial makeup of the audience, which at the Everyman last night was largely white. I mean, and that's that's not a knock on the Everyman. I mean, center stage's audience is the same thing. There's a lot of other places that have largely white subscribers and ticket buyers. Does that affect your approach to doing the piece? I mean, in other words, are there things that a black playwright and black cast needs to let white folks know? And do you think about it in those terms? You think about it, your interpretation of Mr. Wilson's work in racial terms in that on that level?
No, I don't. Mm-hmm. I don't with any of my work. I look for the truth within the text. And if one performs and directs the truth, then there should be comprehension. If there is not comprehension, then that viewer, that listener, needs to re-examine what they have now been exposed to as the specific truth of that group of which they may not be aware.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's true. Yeah, it's true all throughout theater too. I mean, audiences respond to authenticity. If they sense that you're sort of speaking slower or over enunciating to try to let you in, they're like, "Why are you talking that way? People don't talk that way." Mm-hmm. You know, so they smell it.
Yeah.
I also want to say one more thing, Tom, because we're talking about very serious, very iconic, very big, you know, the magnitude of the great man and playwright August Wilson and how important this work is. It's hilariously funny. It is a thoroughly enjoyable play to watch, even though the journey is quite sad in moments. There, it's so dynamic and so fascinating. The audience is young. We got a lot of kids, teenagers, young 20s.
Well, and you're right. Nice. This guy can write.
It's a great night in the theater.
Well, thanks to you both. I really appreciate your coming in and break a leg tonight on opening night and through the rest of the run. Appreciate it. Thank you. Vincent Lancisi, he's the founder and artistic director of the Everyman Theater. Clinton Turner Davis is the director of Fences by August Wilson, which is at the Everyman until the Sunday before Thanksgiving. We've got a link to details on our website, wypr.org/Maryland Morning. Our theater critic, Jaywin Russick, by the way, will be offering her review of Fences a week from Monday right here on Maryland Morning. Coming up after a Baltimore story and a break for news, Nathan Sterner is going to talk bear hunting. Mr. Sterner, we are looking forward to that.